So this is just a short addendum to our series on Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. I'm asking the question, why does Hashem leave the moral code so open-ended as to allow us to decide to go beyond the letter of the law? Even if I take the view that Kofin, that we compel people to go beyond the letter of the law, it's still left to us to figure out what exactly that beyond the letter of the law looks like. So what is it that we're coercing people to do? So I think the standard approach is the Magid Mishnah's approach. We saw this Magid Mishnah earlier in the series. Magid Mishnah de Hilchos Shechinah Perek Yudalet Halacha Hey. The Torah can't possibly include everything in explicit commandments. That's one approach. A second approach is on your sheet. It's source number 2. I'm jumping number 1 for a moment. In which the Rav of Soloveitchik says in an essay in the book Halachic Morality that it's highly personal. Meaning, he says in number 2, besides possessing derech hachayim, a Torah way of life, meaning halacha, we also have a Torah style of living, what we may call a signon hachayim, style of living. The difference between a way of life and a style of living relates to the basic difference between din and lefnim mishurat hadin. Din, the law, that's derech hachayim, the Torah way of life, the style of religious life. There is one way of Jewish life, but there are a variety of styles of how to experience God while performing one's duty. By the way, he's not saying halacha will always have agreement and there's just one way to decide the halacha. That we know. We have machlokes on a variety of things. But all of that fits within this one way that is halacha. As opposed to the variety of styles of how to experience God while performing one's duty. That is the lefnim mishuras hadin. And he quotes you the Gemara that we've seen now multiple times above Metzia Lamed Amud Beis. Asher Ya'asun is a source for Lefnim Bishuras Hadin, where Yisro says to Moshe that tell the people, Hama'aseh Asher Ya'asun, the deed that they will do, or that they should do, in the plural. Asher Ya'asun, and the Gemara says, the deed is halacha, is din. The Asher Ya'asun is lefnim mishuras hadin, going beyond the letter of the law. That which they should do is beyond, and Rav Soloveitchik seizes on the plural, they should do. Each person in his own manner or style. Din, one way for everybody. Lefnim mishuras hadin, each person in his own manner, in his own style. Rav Soloveitchik's view is, Hashem leaves it open-ended, because each of us has our own. And I'd like to build on that with an additional idea. If you take a look at source number 1, Dr. Jim Sabin is the, or was the, I don't know if he still is, but in 2009 he was the co-director of the Center for Ethics and Population Health at Harvard Medical School. And he's talking about teaching business ethics and teaching medical ethics. You see the title for his essay, What If Madoff Took an Ethics Class. In medical ethics teaching, he says, most time is spent on teasing out the pros and cons of complex ethical conundrums. But in real life, recognizing and acknowledging that there is a conundrum that requires contemplation is as important as the way we reason about it. Right? It's important that you have to know that there is a problem. Concluding that we should question the status quo is the starting point for ethical wisdom. You first have to know how to identify a problem. And Dr. Sabin's point is that there's a level of training needed in order to be able to figure out what to do ethically. If Hashem had simply told us, now I'm going into my own idea, and this is not Dr. Sabin anymore, if I were to have everything spelled out for me, this is what you're supposed to do, including on those ethical points, I would never develop my own ethical path. I would never develop my own sensitivity. It's a logical step in evolving our ethical personalities, is to be able to learn to do this ourselves, not to have Hashem tell us every step of the way. Hashem values that we should figure it out. And that's one side. But now I'm going to go the other way. Because if Hashem values our morality, why does Hashem override it? Right? Why does Hashem send Abraham to sacrifice his son? I thought that you valued our morality. Why are you overriding it? So Aaron Lichtenstein answers this in By His Light, Religion and Morality. He says, because there is still a higher goal than implementing and developing and implementing our limited sense of morality. He points to two motivations. There is what he calls goodness and what he calls frumkeit. goodness, he's not using that in a pejorative sense. He says, in goodness, and I brought this for you in source number 3, and brought you an excerpt, Rav Aaron says that goodness is that which is intrinsically morally good. Frumkeit, on the other hand, is an existential and experiential connection to God. Emuna, Yira, Ava, Dveikus, right? Awe of God, love of God, cleaving to God. Second, and this is particularly true within a Jewish and halachic context, that relation to God needs to translate into an obedient and obeisant response to his normative demands. This loyalty to God, beyond being good, but being loyal to God, requires that we be deferential to God. It's possible for somebody to do one without the other. He quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, in source number 4, it's possible for somebody to be a Tzadik Ra. It's possible for somebody to be a Rosh HaTov. You can have somebody who is a Tzadik Ra. Somebody who is you can see it here in the source for yourself. You have people who are very good at the goodness part. They're very good in terms of their personal morality, but they have no loyalty to God. And then you have people who are very loyal to God, but their personal morality is terrible. What happens when the two motivations, personal morality and loyalty to God, are pitted against each other? So Kierkegaard, in Fear and Trembling, points to this at the Akedah. As he wrote, the Akedah involves a teleological suspension of the ethical. Stop thinking ethically and instead look at the divine purpose. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik talked about this regarding Amalek. In source number 5, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein talks about this in reference to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He says, I recall in my late adolescence there were certain problems which perturbed me, the way they perturbed many others. At the time I resolved them all in one fell swoop. I just read Rav Zevin's book, Ishim Vishitos. In his essay on Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he deals not only with his methodological development, but also with his personality and Gemilut Chasadim. He recounted that Rav Chaim used to check every morning if some unfortunate woman had placed an infant waif on his doorstep during the course of the night. In Brisk, it used to happen at times a woman would give birth illegitimately and leave her infant in the hands of Rav Chaim. As I read the stories about Rav Chaim's extraordinary kindness, I said to myself, do I approach this level of Gemilut Chasadim? I don't even dream of it, right? That you're somebody who people know they could just leave you their babies to raise. In terms of moral sensibility, concern for human beings, and sensitivity to human suffering, I am nothing compared to Rav Chaim. Yet despite his moral sensitivity, he managed to live and live deeply with the totality of halacha, including the commands to destroy the 7 nations, Amalek, and all the other things which bother me. How? The answer I thought was obvious. It is not that his moral sensitivity was less, but his Yirat Shamayim, his emunah, was so much more. The thing to do then is not to try to neutralize or de-emphasize the moral element, right? It's not to pretend there's no ethical issue and it's not to become an unethical person, but rather to deepen and increase the element of our Yirat Shamayim, of Emunah, Dveikus, and Bitachon, to increase that closeness to Hashem. I have subsequently thought of that experience on many occasions, he continues. I recall once hearing someone, regarded as a philosopher of sorts, raise moral criticisms of various halachic practices. When asked about these criticisms, I said, I know that particular person. He doesn't look for a foundling on his doorstep every morning. That's a really important point that he makes, and not only in terms of the dramatic Amalek situation, but in a separate article called Ma'enosh, in source number 6, he talks about it in Daily Halacha. For more than the particular sacrifices it requires, the very existence of Halacha rejects one aspect of humanism. As an objective normative order, Halacha shifts the center of authority from man to the law. To be sure, man plays a crucial role in interpreting and to a point even shaping the law, but so long as he remains honestly committed to the system, he is no longer a final arbiter. It's for God. As important as developing our ethical sensitivity is, the ultimate goal of the human being is not to live up to his own view of the universe, but to draw closer to Hashem. As Rav Aaron says in source number 7, the goal is not the mitzvah, the alone, but it's the mitzvah, It's the one who commanded it. It's not only about what are you supposed to do. It's about the one who told you to do it in the first place. And here I close with a quote from Rav Soloveitchik's The Emergence of Ethical Man in source number 8, in which he describes how human beings are so like the animal kingdom, so like even the plant kingdom, until one point in Bereishis, the point of Vayitzav, where Hashem gives us a command. God takes man-animal into his confidence, addresses him, and reveals to him his moral will. That is when we become human beings. Not only because we can have an ethical instruction, but because we can have a relationship with the instructor of it. So why does Hashem give us this moral code? Why does Hashem not give us this clear-cut moral code? Why does he leave it open? Could be because the Torah can't possibly include everything. Could be so that we will have a personalized system. And it could be so that we will have that exercise of developing the system ourselves and becoming more sensitive. But at the same time, Hashem is willing to override that morality by imposing din. The relationship with Hashem supersedes this development of ourselves. The ultimate goal of the human being is not to live up to his own view of the universe, but to draw close to Hashem.